purpose. The title of this message is The Gateway to Glory. I believe this place is going to be such a place. The Bible talks about places on the earth that become gateways of heaven. We know that there are gates to hell. Even Jesus said that the gates of hell should not overcome the purposes of God. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overpower it. I think gates of hell are those places on the earth where demons are so emboldened, perhaps because there's been human sacrifice in ancient times, and demons in those places have been so forthright in their destruction. They rally there. They connive there. They conspire there against the purposes of God. But the people of God come and break those things. But there's also gateways of heaven, places where the people of God gather and the worship of God is raised and lives are devoted unto Him and the glory of the Lord comes and extraordinary miracles appear and the purposes of God go out from those places to touch the world, to touch the poor, and to release the purposes of God. What allows God's people to come into a place where they could say, we found the gateway to God's glory? It might surprise you what the Lord expects, but there's one chapter in the Bible that describes it wonderfully. Would you please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 58? And as soon as I give you that scripture, some of you will already know what it's about. But starting at verse 6 in Isaiah 58, we read about a special fast that the Lord has chosen. It's not the fast, as it says in verse 4 and 5, where you just bow your head and you go without food and you suffer and it's self-flagellation and putting yourself down and you become full of piety and heavy devotion, and you wrestle in the place of prayer. Now, the Bible doesn't say you shouldn't do that. It just says don't only do that, for that is not the chosen fast. But then look and see what it says in verse 6. It says, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the bands of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Can you say amen? Amen? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. That's your own family. It says, then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will appear quickly. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and He will say, here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. That means your bones. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking my Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, teach us now. Holy Spirit, we recognize that you're the teacher here, and we come to sit at your feet and to receive from your word. Now, let it impact us and empower us for your purpose. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is about a special kind of fasting. All of us know fasting is when you go without food. Sometimes when somebody is sick in the church, we will call for a fast, and we will go without a day or many days. My wife, in her lifetime, and I might not get the numbers exactly right, but it's at least three times where she's fasted for 40 days. And there are many here who have fasted and gone without food, sacrificed in some way to see the glory of the Lord come. Fasting is a denial of self so that others might be blessed. However, this Bible says that it's not just your sacrifice or your devotion or your piety that the Lord is looking for. Because you can be so pious and yet miss the purposes of God. And I'm bringing this message to you today in this place because this place is not about polishing a palace. It is about people and the purposes of God for people. So there is a kind of fast that involves sacrifice of our emotions, sacrifice of our finances, sacrifice of our energy and time. And it is to help those who cannot help themselves, who are in a pit, those who are in a dark place, those who are in a lonely place, those who are far from God and from the Commonwealth of Israel. And those people who are far away, the Lord says, they shall be brought near to him and to his throne. That is God's chosen fast. Now, notice that this is not about, this scripture is not specifically for individual people. If you look even at Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1, it says, declare to my people about their rebellion. At the end of this chapter, it also refers to my people. This is talking about the community of the Lord. How does the community of the Lord stop playing church? How do the redeemed of the Lord stop looking for entertainment? How do the people of God rise up with the anointing and the power and the blessing that God has intended for his people? For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What I'm telling you today is not just something that we wish would happen. This is something that will happen. For the Lord will have a glorious church. A church without spot and without wrinkle. A church that shines in the beauty of Christ. A church that is the very body of Christ, set to do his work and his will. So that's why I call this message the gateway to glory. Because there are some things that we need to do to go through into the purposes of God. To go through a gateway into to finding the release of God's glory. You know, some of us who have been Christians all of our lives have worked real hard, and we haven't seen the blessings and the promises that God said would come. We've seen it in measure, but we know there's so much more. Can you say so much more? It is really true. And so the scripture makes it clear. There are things that we as a people of God cannot afford to do. It starts in verse 4. It says, your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. And that's not the kind of fast that he's looking for. He says, there cannot be strife within the body of Christ. Now, if I ever put down another preacher, come and tell me off, please. I don't think you'll ever find me doing it. Or another ministry. Now, there are others who we might not agree with. In fact, the whole body of Christ is like mixed salad. It's like tossed salad, and there's tomatoes and lettuce and cucumber and peppers and all kinds of things in this salad, and they don't much like each other sometimes. Too many things can give you a heartburn. But that's God's business. And the Bible says, don't judge another man's servant. Amen. So whether you like them or not, if they hold up the name of Jesus and are not into outright sin, then bless them. And say, thank you, Lord. And may those words concerning other ministries and churches only be spoken in this place. Because there's a disease in the body of Christ. It was back here in this time among the people of God, and it's alive today, and it shouldn't be, where it seems that ministries and individuals promote themselves by putting down others that they disagree with in the body of Christ. And the Lord says again in verse 9, halfway through, if you do away with the yoke of oppression, the pointing finger, and the malicious talk, he says, then I will bless you. See in verse 10, halfway through, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday. So there has to be a love. So many of you have come to me over these last few weeks and said, you know, the Lord is speaking to me about love, and that what we are to be in this new place that we go into, we have to be a place that's a house of love for God's people. That our DNA should be a love for God's people. And love for all people. People who haven't found him yet. People who are weary. People who are broken. People who are so messed up they don't know how to talk right or think right, or they don't have manners. But you have something that can break the yoke and turn the situation around. It is the powerful love of God. So let this place be such a place. Now this is the chosen fast. You see what it is in verse 6? It starts off. This is the kind of fasting that God has chosen. To break the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke. In other words, the first assignment you have, if you want to see your light break forth and all the blessings of God trickle down, you have to be a spiritual freedom fighter. That's right. You have to say, well, we're coming against that witchcraft. We're coming against that attack against you. We're coming against that disease. The Lord says, lift up. You know the assignment that Jesus gives you? It's the same one as his own job description. You can read about it in Luke chapter 4. He says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to open the prison doors, to set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to lift off the oppression, and to proclaim the year of God's favor. That's our assignment. That is the chosen fast that the Lord has. We cannot be like the Pharisee and the Levite, who when the Samaritan was fallen in the ditch, they walked on the other side. It's time for the people of God, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to break the yoke and set the prisoners free. That's our first assignment. We're going to see a whole lot more of it in days to come. But that's not all that we do. Because then in verse 7, it teaches us, isn't this to share your food with the hungry, and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, and to see the naked clothed, and not to turn away from your own family. So this is the place of missions. Madison's going on a mission. Jeff Graham just came back. These are the kind of works that they were involved with, bringing food to orphans, to the hungry. And we will always do that as a church, and this facility will be a place of ministering to the poor in this nation and around the world. Already, the United States of America sends out more finances, more offerings for the poor around the world than all other nations combined. And most of it comes through God's people. This is the call of God on our lives. It's mercy and compassion ministries. When we were in Israel just a month ago, we were down by the Dead Sea and ready to climb from the lowest place in the world to the city of the great king, Jerusalem. It's just a 40-minute drive, and you go straight uphill all the way. But just before we left the Dead Sea area, a sandstorm came. We could see it coming from Jordan, and it covered the whole horizon, this billowing brown cloud that was coming toward us. And the bus driver was saying, "Hurry, hurry, hurry, get in the bus. We have to get up to Jerusalem before the sandstorm comes." But the ladies were shopping. And so, as you well might imagine, we didn't get on the bus quite in time to miss the sandstorm. And the visibility was very limited. But every time that we go to Israel, and we've gone every year since about 1998, on this trek up, we stop and overlook the Judean wilderness where the story of the Good Samaritan took place. Because a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. Everybody who goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho falls among thieves. And this man did, and they beat him and took his money and his clothes and left him for dead. If the night would have come, he wouldn't have survived the hyenas or the wolves. And two priests, well, one was a priest, one was a Levite, went by that way and walked on the other side. But a Samaritan, Jesus said, when he passed, he had compassion in his heart. And he went to that man and poured in the oil and the wine, the signs of the mercy ministry of the church. The wine represents the blood of Jesus and his saving grace, and the oil represents the work of the Holy Spirit. And he got off his donkey and he went and ministered to this man, pouring in the oil and the wine. Then he took care of him, put him on his donkey, and took him to a local inn and took care of him. This is our call. This is the call of God that is on us. And as we were going up in Jerusalem just a month ago, I said, "Come on, let's pull off here. There may be a break in the sandstorm." And so we did. We all got out, and there was still sand around us, but it wasn't too bad for a moment. And I preached the message as we were looking over into the Judean wilderness through the sandstorm about the story of the Good Samaritan. Then we got back on the bus quickly. You know, it's not always convenient to do what God tells you to do. It's not always politically correct. You don't have everything you need before you start. That's like us here. We don't have the finances for everything we need, but God does. We don't have all the workers we need, but God does. We don't have all the sound equipment we need, but God does. We don't have the lighting that we need, but God does. Can you say, "But God does"? It's exactly right. But now, if we do these three things, our light will break forth. The first one is to break oppression. The second is to feed the hungry. And the third comes at the end of this portion of Scripture, where it says, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath. Now, I'm not bringing you under some legalistic observance of a day, because Sunday is not the Sabbath, at any rate. It's Saturday. Actually, Friday night till Saturday, at just when the sun's coming to set. That's really the Sabbath. But it's not just a day. In the new covenant, it's a place that you come to in Christ. He becomes your Sabbath rest. Do you know what it means, Grandma? It means you quit worrying about terrorism and about the finances and about all the problems with your grandchildren. And you say, Lord, I'm going to work real hard, but at the end, I'm going to find my Sabbath rest in you. I lay it all at your feet, and I trust in you completely. Then you have rest. Let me tell you something about closure. Some of you have had some horrific problems in life, maybe deaths in your families. Maybe you have suffered from, or somebody has suffered from a traffic accident or something else. And you have said, I'm looking for closure. Some of you have been taken advantage of, and people owe you great sums of money, or they've hurt you and your family. And you say, I want justice to come so that closure can come. Let me tell you something. Justice never brings closure. For the people of God, there's only one place to find closure. It's at the foot of the cross. Amen. When you take it all, you do what's proper and what's right. You don't avoid doing what's right, but at the end of it all, you take it and you bow your knees and you say, I will not hang on to this any longer. I forgive, I bless, I give it back to you. And then the Holy Spirit will come on you and you will have closure. Some of you have been walking around for years like a victim, with a victim mentality and a heaviness upon you, thinking that you just haven't found closure. The world can't give you closure. A judge cannot give you closure. Only when you give it all to Jesus will you find closure. So those three things release the blessing of God. The breaking off of oppression, the feeding the hungry, and you having complete Sabbath faith in God and in the Lord Jesus. Now, what are the blessings that will come to you if you're a spiritual freedom fighter and you start breaking off? Now, I love to do it. In the name of Jesus and by His anointing, I love to get my hands on people. Because I believe that when I put my hands on people, God puts His hands on people. And I love to break curses and see deliverance come. I love to see healings come and sickness being broken and oppression being lifted. I love it. And I love to see the poor getting their needs met. Ministries of compassion. And I only can live by faith. I have no other modus operandi. The just shall live by faith. But when we do these three things, this is about a church, not just about an individual. It's about the community of the Lord. How do the blessings of God come to the church? Through these things. And then there are seven blessings that will come to God's people. Let me give them to you. First, it says in verse 8, your light will break forth. See that? It says, then your light will break forth like the dawn. Secondly, in the same verse, your healing will quickly appear. And then the third thing is found in verse 8 as well. It says, then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. The third thing is that God will protect you. These are the blessings that come. The first one is your light will break forth. The second one, your healing will come quickly. And the third one is the protection of the Lord. Let me talk about these three things before we go on to the others. Your light will break forth. Some people are really struggling to find the peace of God and the light of God in their hearts. But the Lord says, this needs to come to the whole community. We need some soul shining. Some shining in our souls that just causes the light of God in the face of Jesus Christ to light us up inside. You ought to be a happy person. I've said many times, you're responsible for the look on your face by the time you're 40. It better not be a grumpy one. If it is, you need a spiritual adjustment. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. So that's the first thing that comes. It says your light will break forth. And it starts in here. The heaviness goes. How many of you want that? You already have it, many of you. Secondly, the healing comes. Because there's so many people who have been maligned, have been abused, and have wounded spirits. Everywhere we go. You know, when we pray for people and we start going down the line, I know it looks repetitious, but almost every single woman I pray for has to have arrows pulled out of her back. They're just full of evil words, accusations, judgments, and acts of wickedness against them, betrayals. And I'm going along pulling out knives and spears and arrows out of their backs. But Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bind up the wounded hearted, to set the captives free. So healing comes when you do these things. And the third thing it says is that the Lord will be your rear guard. You know what a rear guard is? When you're going forward in the work, even in the battle, whatever it is, the enemy likes to sneak up in your blind side and take advantage of you. So Pastor Jesse and I and our wives, we've had a lot of talks about coming into this building. We know there'll be lots of attacks from the back and from the sides that we didn't see coming. You know, we go ahead doing as much due diligence as we can, but at the end of the day, we need a big, massive angel standing behind us, saying, no, you can't touch that man. He's a man of God. He's a servant of the Most High. And the Lord says that he will be your rear guard. Do you have a rear guard? You need this. So the blessings of the Lord, after you are one who breaks the oppression, who feeds the hungry, and who lives a life of faith, find your Sabbath rest. You have your light breaking forth, your healing coming quickly. The protection of the Holy Spirit will be your rear guard. Then it says in verse 9, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. So the next thing is that God gives you answers to prayer. And number 5, it says in verse 11, the Lord will guide you always. If you're not led by the Lord, you're like a ship on the ocean without a rudder. You're just blown every different direction. And the Bible gives a warning about that, doesn't it, to the people of God. But the Lord promises that he will guide you always. That should be your testimony. Everything I do because the Lord leads me. And number 6, in verse 11, halfway through it, it says, the Lord will meet all your needs. You satisfy your needs. And it says, you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. So the well-watered garden has lots of fruit, productivity, right? And the Lord says, that will be yours. And you will be like a spring of water, not just a watered garden, but a spring of water that never fails. It's continuous. That means the provision of the Lord will come to you and overflow for others. And lastly, I like this one because this is where we are right now and what we're doing. We read in verse 12, it says, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins. Would you say that? Say, rebuild the ancient ruins. And will raise up the old age foundations. Say, raise up the old age foundations. And you will be a repairer of broken walls. Say, repairer of broken walls. And restorer of streets with dwellings. Say, restorer of streets with dwellings. So all of these seven things. Healing, your light breaks forth. Healing, protection, answers to prayer. The Lord will guide you always. The Lord meets your needs with abundance. And you are raising up the ancient places, the ancient foundations, the ancient walls, the purposes of God. That is God's design for His people. That you be and receive all of those things. Now this will come to the family of God. This is what the church will look like. Right now you look at the church around the United States of America and around the world, and you might say it's not what it should be. In fact, a lot of people have quit going to church because of the politics, because they haven't seen the kind of testimony. And believe me, the church, until Jesus comes, will always have people that are less than representative in a good way of the Lord. But there is a church that will cover the earth, that will reflect all of these things. I call it the gateway to God's glory. How do we get there? We break the oppression and we feed the hungry. Think of this place, not just a place of tingly charismatic meetings where we have special glory times, which we will have. But the glory of the Lord will go out from here to touch broken people, wounded people, hungry people. And they'll weep as the mercy and kindness of the Lord comes upon them. So today, we start off here in this place saying, yes, Lord, we want to have the Isaiah fast among us. We want to be those kind of people that make such a difference in the world. And the Lord says, you're my people. I'm going to do it in you. It's going to surprise you when you see the power and the glory of the Lord. Will you stand to your feet? And let's pray now and dedicate ourselves to the Lord. Now just open your hands like this. Let's pray the prayer of dedication. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Forgive me of my sins. I welcome the increased power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I give you everything. Let your anointing come upon me. Help me to obey your word. To break the oppression. To set the captives free. To feed the hungry. And to walk with such faith. I dedicate myself to you today. I give my family to you for your purpose in their lives. Now put your hand on your heart. I'm going to bless you now. And then if you need prayer, please come to the front and we will pray for you. Now in the name of Jesus, I speak the blessing of the Lord over your life. I speak healing into your body. I pull out the arrows, the hurts and the wounds that are in your heart. I pull out every evil word spoken against you. I break off the malicious talk, the pointing of the finger, the judgments against you. I break their power in the name of Jesus. And I speak health into your physical body, the health of the Lord Jesus. I release health into your bones, into your frame, as the Word of God says, and into all the systems of your body. And I speak blessings now over your family, over your children, over your children's children, and over all who come into your house. I speak the peace of God upon your home. Now, some of you have been facing attacks financially against you, and you have been facing attacks against you in your dwelling place with things going wrong, lots of things going wrong in your practical world at home. And I just stand with you right now. I break off every curse and every dark assignment against you. And I speak the blessing of God for the roadway to glory, the pathway to the purposes of the Lord's blessings over your home. I speak the peace of God over your home, the power of the Lord to be your measure. I speak it now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you need prayer, please come.